The roots of severe mental illness go deep, and the effort of a therapist can be compared to that of a detective working from fitfully provided clues to construct a coherent narrative. The dramatic momentum of the play Equus, a meditation on religion, sexuality, and the workings of a troubled mind, comes from that effort as a psychiatrist in a mental hospital struggles to reach a troubled young man who is fixated on horses. Alex Monroe is the director of a new Manoa Valley Theater production that opens this week. He's with us this morning. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
You know, I just was thinking about the term mental illness, and in a way that's a little bit deceptive because with a kind of illness that we're talking about in this play, there's a feeling almost that this is not necessarily it's not disoriented. It might be a different view of reality that can educate us, you know?
Yeah, and I think also it asks the question of, you know, Dysart has this question to the audience time and time again, is this boy even really sick?
Yeah.
Is this treatment that I'm going to do for him actually going to help him, or is it going to make him worse off?
And that has come up in a couple of plays about mental illness. I'm also thinking about Cuckoo's Nest, which mm-hmm. where we started looking at mental illness differently and maybe thinking, are we, you know, tormenting people who might be on to something?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a theme that we really tried to wrestle with our production, and also as a way to sort of connect it to an audience here in Honolulu in 2016, because it is a play that was written in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
And we didn't want it to be sort of a museum piece.
Right.
And so we really are wrestling with this idea of a conflict between, you know, nature versus modernity, but also this idea of lived experience. This boy, Alan, who we are describing as mentally ill in the play, mm-hmm. Has this connection to a god that he has created through these horses.
Mm-hmm.
And Dysart, in treating him, comes to realize that he envies this boy, that he can go out and touch this god. And all Dysart can do is just flip through pages of these Greek gods and touch his reproduction statue of Dionysus.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have that connection. So yeah, I think maybe he thinks that Alan is onto something.
And Dysart longs to have that kind of connection. You can see that in his fascination with the ancient gods, yeah?
Absolutely. And we've tried to sort of show that that through treating Alan, he starts to not just to experience Alan's religion vicariously, but also, you know, actually sees Equus. You know,
mm-hmm.
we start Act Two with Dysart actually confronting Equus, the god, himself.
Well, you know, it's easy for the many of the unbeliever wishes he were a believer,
mm-hmm.
envies the believer that security, that solidity of having something to believe in, yeah?
Absolutely. And I think even with Dysart, it's more than that. It's, you know, there's this one of my favorite scenes in the entire production. Alan and Dysart are just sharing a cigarette, and they're sort of sharing these secrets. And Dysart talks about how he would love to go to this town. It's where the gods used to go to bathe. And Alan says, oh, what gods? And he says, the old ones before they died. And Alan says, gods don't die. And Dysart looks at him and says, yes, they do.
Mm.
And what he's saying really is, I'm going to kill your god through treating you.
Yeah. And, of course, this was written, placing it in its time, this was written in the God is Dead era,
right?
Right? When that was, you know, commonly said, when it was said in the post-Second World War world had lost its connection mm-hmm. to spirituality. And, of course, we're, you know, quite a few years down the line from then. I'm not sure where we are in that continuum. Are you?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that, you know, some of those themes that, you know, like you said, written in the 60s, late 70s still resonate today. And not just with religion, but, you know, Dora, the mom, Alan's mom, has this monologue where she's basically saying, you know, you came into my house and you accused me of how I raised my son. And I feel like, you know, that's become even more relevant today in a time where we have all these mass shootings.
Yeah.
And we ask these questions about how these children were raised and were video games involved or television, Game of Thrones and mm-hmm. Grand Theft Auto. So I think he was really sort of prophetic in his writing.
Yeah, in those days, a troubled youth was mm-hmm. was a juvenile delinquent. He might get in trouble with the cops. He wasn't going to massacre people in a shopping mall.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, to see that how times have changed in that regards.
What steps did you take to keep it from being a revival museum piece?
Like I said, we went back to the play and I tried to find themes that I thought would resonate with an audience here in Honolulu in 2016, and so that the conflict between nature versus modernity, I think that's something that would resonate with us. You know, the conversations we have over rail and Mauna Kea observatories, mm-hmm. but also this lack of actual lived experience. Dysart, like I said, Dysart looks through pages of these yeah. books, but he doesn't actually have his own god, and Alan does.
Yeah.
And so we try to show that with the use of television sets. So the television is something that comes throughout the whole script. Alan's not allowed to watch TV. He sneaks off. His mom lets him sneak off and watch westerns. Mm-hmm. He watches TV when he's at the hospital. And so I spent the past 15 months combing the streets of Honolulu on bulk pickup day and picking up these television sets. And then the designers have really helped me make sure that we can use them to show video into a really sort of visceral effect for the audience.
And of course, a young man who has made a connection to his own kind of godhead mm-hmm. he's living in he's not a victim of the technological world. He's found something deeper than that, right?
Right. Yeah. And so it's kind of flip, right? Because now we look at the millennials, and there's always those memes on Facebook where they say, well, back in my day, I was out looking at playing in the woods or by yeah. the creek, and then now you look at the today's youth and they're stuck in cell phones and iPads, and it's flipped, right? Like, Alan's out there touching his god, and it's Dysart with the artificial.
So, one has a connection to something that the other deeply wants,
yeah.
but it's not who you think.
Absolutely. And it's something that we wrestle with the entire play. And I'm really hoping that when people leave the show, that they really start to they ask themselves, like, did he do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And really, who is the one that's sick?
That's the subtext of any really good play about mental illness. Who's crazy, right? It goes all the way back to Shakespeare and, where some of the wisdom comes from his madmen, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, this really looks like it must have been a great project to be working on, and work continues, I'm sure. Thanks so much, Alex.
No, thanks for having me.
Alex Monroe is the guest director of Peter Schaffer's Equus, which opens Thursday and runs until June 5th at Manoa Valley Theater. And details are on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.